Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give up the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This weekend, we've left everything of the world behind.
Amen.
We've come up the mountain, Christ to obtain.
Amen.
He is your heart's very need.
Amen.
What else can you desire or seek? All things are empty indeed.
Amen.
He is.
Amen.
He is so rich.
He is
so full.
Amen.
He can fulfill all your needs.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's so good we could be gathered here this weekend out of everything else to enjoy this wonderful person with all the other brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Aren't you happy to be here?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely up the mountain.
Amen.
And gathering us together here this weekend.
Amen.
Well, this weekend we have a very special topic, and that is the Jubilee.
Amen.
A very particular topic in the Bible, and it's so good that we could just focus this whole weekend on this wonderful topic of the Jubilee.
Amen.
The age of the Jubilee.
Wow.
So through these four messages, we'll firstly get into the age of the Jubilee. That'll be tonight, a definition of what the Jubilee is. Then we'll continue with the blessings of the Jubilee. There are blessings in the Jubilee.
Amen.
Amen. Then we'll continue with the living of the Jubilee. You know, this Jubilee is not just for this weekend for us to enjoy, but this can be part of our living. As we go back, we can live in the Jubilee.
Amen.
And then lastly, in the last message, the subject will be the proclamation of the Jubilee. You know, as we're enjoying this Jubilee, as we're enjoying the blessings of the Jubilee, as we're living in the Jubilee, we have to proclaim this Jubilee to others.
Amen.
We have to announce this good news to others. So that will be this weekend. A wonderful tour in the Jubilee.
Amen.
Amen. So this first message, if you open to your outline, to message one, if you haven't already, as I mentioned, will be on the age of the Jubilee.
Amen.
And will mainly be, this is a foundational message to define what is the Jubilee. And you notice in the scripture reading, there are three passages. There's Leviticus 25, Isaiah 61, and Luke 4. So these are the passages in the Word regarding the Jubilee. In Leviticus, we have the type. In Isaiah, there's a prophecy of one who is coming, who is the reality of the Jubilee. And in Luke 4, the reality of the Jubilee, this wonderful Christ has come.
Amen.
So we'll look at all these aspects tonight. Actually, there's a lot of verses. It's so good that we can get into the Word.
Amen.
We're here this weekend just to be before the Lord and to seek Him in His Word.
Amen.
Actually, there's a lot of verse references. I typed out to save time. Or not typed out, but compiled all the verse references. And I have 5 pages of 10-point font of verses tonight. So there's a lot of riches here on the Jubilee. We won't get to all of them. But it's so good we can come to God's Word. You know, God's heart, He just wants to speak to us.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, we have the Bible.
Amen.
This is God speaking to man.
Yes.
And we're here this weekend with an open heart, to receive and to hear His speaking.
Amen.
We want to hear His Word.
Right.
We want to get into His Word and we want to receive His speaking.
Amen.
To be enlightened in His Word. Amen. The Word is so rich.
Yeah.
It's so enjoyable. Praise the Lord for the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. How about if we read the first Roman numeral together? The year
of
Okay, so the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, we'll start in the Old Testament with this first Roman numeral. was God's ordination that the children of Israel could be restored to their rightful inheritance of the good land. And this is the type. What is the type? It's a picture in the Old Testament that represents Christ as the reality in the New Testament. So we'll be looking at this wonderful picture, what the children of Israel experienced, and how God ordained that they could enjoy their rightful inheritance of the good land. Okay, what does the word Jubilee mean? Well, the Hebrew word is Yobel. And it means the blast of a horn. You notice on the cover of, you were wondering what that was. Well, that's a horn. So it's a blast of a horn. It's a trumpeting. And it's even a time of shouting. It's a celebratory time. Something is being proclaimed. Something is being trumpeted. There's a blast of the horn to announce something wonderful. And that is the year of Jubilee. Amen. So we'll see more about this wonderful Jubilee. But it's the blast of a horn, a time of shouting. You know, this weekend is a celebratory weekend.
Amen.
We should be celebrating the victory of Christ, celebrating the Jubilee. Yeah. So I hope you came this weekend to enjoy. Because this weekend we'll be enjoying. We'll be celebrating and we'll be trumpeting and heralding and shouting even regarding this wonderful Jubilee. Amen? How about if we all stand up and say, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. For a time of shouting.
Amen.
The Jubilee.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, we need to see some background to understand about the children of Israel and the inheritance of the good land. So point A says, God's goal in His economy is not merely to redeem His people and save them from the world, typified by Egypt, but to bring them into Christ,
Amen.
Typified by the good land, to possess Him and enjoy His unsearchable riches, to build up God's habitation and kingdom on earth.
Amen.
Wow, what a goal, what an economy.
Amen.
It's not just to be saved, but God has a high goal. That we would enjoy Him, we would be built up as His habitation and His kingdom on the earth. And we know the history of the children of Israel. God has this goal for them that they would be in the good land, they would be enjoying the good land, laboring in the good land, and being built up as God's kingdom and even His habitation in the good land as a testimony to all the nations around. Well, in the history of Israel, there was a problem. Because the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. How could God have His goal? right? So this is the history of the children of Israel. So God had to do something to redeem them and to save them from the world, typified by Egypt. So they were there enslaved, and Pharaoh wasn't going to let them go easy. Even after many plagues came. But eventually, God came with the judgment of the death angel that would kill all the firstborn. Well, the children of Israel were instructed to slay the Passover lamb and to slay the blood, to get the blood from the slain Passover lamb, put it on the lintel and the doorposts, and when the death angel came, nothing happened to them because they were covered in the blood.
Amen.
Right? So, hallelujah for Christ's redemption.
Amen.
You know, we should be under God's judgment based on who we are. The wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. We should be under God's righteous judgment. But because we've believed into the Lord, we've accepted Him as our Savior, we've accepted His redemption, and we've applied the blood, we've been redeemed.
Amen.
We're not under God's judgment. Well, this was the children of Israel able to not be under God's judgment and to be redeemed and to be saved. Well, not only do we have the blood for redemption, well, the children of Israel, they roasted and ate the lamb and took the lamb inside them so they could have the energy to get out of Egypt.
Amen.
Well, you know, when we believe it to the Lord, not only are our sins washed away, but we receive the life of the Lord Jesus into our spirit.
Amen.
We receive His life, and we are born of God so that we have the strength to walk out of the world. So we have redemption, we have salvation and life. Well, did God stop there? They're still in Egypt. They're still there, but they need to get out. And as they went out, there was another step they took, and that was going through the Red Sea. The waters parted, they went through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh chased after them. He wasn't ready to give them up, as Satan does not like to give us up. But then after the children of Israel went through, the waters came over and Pharaoh and his armies were drowned.
Amen.
The children of Israel were then separated. There was a sea between them and Egypt, and they were sanctified and set apart for God.
Amen.
Well, for us, this is the step of baptism. When we leave the world, we believe into the Lord, our sins are forgiven, we receive Him into us as our life, and then we take the step of baptism.
Amen.
And we're brought to the other side, and we have a full separation from the world, and Satan has no hold on us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, well, they're still not in the good land. So there's a further journey. God's goal in His economy still has not been met. So they're there wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. God is providing them bread and sustenance. The manna is coming every day. But there's still not a kingdom built up as His house enjoying the good land. So they're brought eventually into the good land. Hallelujah. Brought into the good land. I'd like to read you the verses here. Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 10. What a good land this is. For Jehovah your God is bringing you to a good land. A land of water brooks, of springs, and of fountains. A land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees with oil and of honey. You will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it. You will eat and be satisfied.
Amen.
Isn't it good they didn't just stay in the wilderness enjoying the same manna every day, but they were able to come in and enjoy the riches of the good land.
Amen.
Well, this good land is just a type of our wonderful Christ. There's another verse here, Ephesians 3:8, which refers to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we'll get more into how Christ is this land in the following points. So this is the good land. The children of Israel have been redeemed, and they've been brought to a feast. This is our destiny, to be redeemed and to feast with the Lord.
Amen.
To enjoy His riches, and then eventually even to be built up as His dwelling place. This is our destiny. Amen? Okay, point B. Okay, they're in the good land. The children of Israel conquered the land. Now Joshua brought them in. And Joshua and the high priest allotted the good land of Canaan into 12 different portions for each tribe. So there are 12 tribes, and each tribe was given an area of the land where they could possess and they could dwell. And then within the tribe, each family was given an allotment of the land. So everyone got a portion of the good land to possess. Everyone. Every one of the children of Israel had a portion of the land to labor on, to enjoy the riches, and to enjoy the produce of the land. Okay. Okay, a couple verses here. Colossians 1:12. Well, in the New Testament reality, we also all get a portion of this good land who is Christ.
Amen.
Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Amen.
Who has qualified you?
Amen.
Qualified me?
Amen.
We've all been qualified for a share.
Amen.
Aren't you happy that you have a share? You have an allotment, a portion of this unsearchably rich Christ? We all have an allotment. Praise the Lord. We've been qualified through His redemption and through Christ. Okay. Colossians 2, 6, and 7, as therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. He's the good land. We can walk in Him. This shows Christ is the real good land. We can walk in this good land. Explore this good land. Enjoy this good land. Explore and gain all the riches of this Christ. Don't you want to gain more riches of Christ?
Amen.
Are you satisfied with how much Christ you've gained? Well, there's a lot more. We need to, this weekend, we're going to be walking in this Christ, walking in this land, exploring to know more of these riches and to enjoy more of these riches. Walk in Him, having been rooted and being built up in Him. So we're even rooted in this land and being built up in this land. Isn't it good that we have an allotment?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Now we take a negative turn, and this will help us to see why the Jubilee is such good news, why it's so wonderful. Point D says, point C. However, after the children of Israel received their portions of the land, some became poor and sold their allotment, causing them to lose the land as their possession and inheritance. Leviticus 25:25a. If your brother becomes poor and sells some of his possessions. So each person, each family was allotted a portion of the good land, but if they didn't labor on that land and they were lazy, then there was no produce, they had nothing to eat, they had nothing to sell, eventually they just became poor. So they had to sell their portion of the land. Okay. They lost their possession. They lost their inheritance. Okay. Then, point D, they lost their possession in C. Well, now, even their person. We'll see. After selling their land, others became so lazy and gluttonous that they sold themselves into slavery, thus losing their freedom and becoming separated from their families. 25:39a. And if your brother beside you becomes poor and sells himself to you. So not only his possession, but even his person lost all freedom and was separated from their family. So you should underline these three losses here. Number one, in C, lose the land as their possession. This is the first loss. Then in D, number two, losing their freedom. Losing their freedom. And number three, separated from their families. So this is their condition. This is their condition. Oh Lord. Okay. Well, we'll get into this more in the second section, but, you know, just to touch, we're slaves of sin, right? We were once slaves of sin. In a situation, not only having lost God and without hope in the world, this is how we began. No hope in the world because we didn't have God. God is everything. If we have God, we have everything.
Amen.
If we don't have God, we have nothing. The same thing for the children of Israel. If they didn't have their portion of the land, they had nothing except themselves. But then eventually, even as sinners, we were just slaves of sin. We didn't even have control of ourselves. Even if we wanted to do good, we are slaves of sin, right? So this is our past, and this is the situation of some in the children of Israel. So where do we go from here? What does God do? Well, there's a provision. There's a wonderful provision. Hallelujah for our God.
Amen.
To restore the children of Israel to the enjoyment of their lost portion of the good land, God ordained that every 50th year would be a year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Every 50th year would be a year of Jubilee. Okay, Leviticus 25:10. Okay, Caleb, can you help me? We would like to you to read this. Yeah? Leviticus 25:10. This is a time of trumpeting.
Amen.
Consider if you have lost your land, you're in slavery, you haven't been with your family, and then there's a blasting of the trumpet. There's an announcement that comes forth.
Amen. Amen. Leviticus 25:10. And you shall sanctify the 50th year.
Amen.
And proclaim liberty.
Amen.
Throughout all the land.
Amen.
To all its inhabitants.
Amen.
It shall be a jubilee for you.
Amen.
And each of you shall return to his possession.
Amen.
And each of you shall return to his family.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, what a God we have. What a provision. You shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim liberty.
Amen.
Proclaim it throughout the land to all its inhabitants.
Right.
And each one of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. You know, human, divine government, mankind, tries to solve man's problems. Right? There's many ideologies, there's many isms trying to meet man's needs. There's socialism, communism, capitalism, there's a lot of isms, right? Well, eventually all these isms fall short to meet man's need. But God is the great statesman. God has a particular ordination, and He has ordained that every 50th year would be a year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Wow, what a God we have. Every 50 years, there's a restart. There's a reboot. There's a new beginning.
Amen.
All the land goes back to the original owners. Everyone is set free.
Wow.
Everyone comes back to their family. There's a reboot. There's a new start.
Amen.
Well, today He is our Jubilee.
Amen.
Do you need a new start?
Yes.
Do you need a reboot? Well, this weekend, may you enter in and have a new start.
Amen.
A new beginning.
Right.
A reboot.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a jubilee.
Amen.
Amen. You know, even in the history of the U.S., there was something called the Emancipation Proclamation. And this was something that was wonderful. But even that does not match to God's ordination here. The Emancipation Proclamation had some limitations. It was January 1st, 1863, but it only applied to certain people. It only applied in certain states, states that had seceded. And it would only apply if the Union won the war. So as great as the Emancipation Proclamation is, it wasn't as great as the proclamation of the Jubilee.
Amen.
It was without limitation.
Right.
Everyone was returned.
Amen.
Everyone was brought back to their possession. Everyone was released from slavery. And everyone was restored to their family. Isn't this wonderful?
Yeah.
Okay. point one. In the year of Jubilee, everyone who had sold his possession, his allotted portion of the good land, was returned to it, without paying anything to redeem it.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. In this year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25:13, each one of you shall return to his possession.
Amen.
He shall return to his possession.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, point two. In the year of Jubilee, everyone who had sold himself into slavery regained his freedom and returned to his family.
Amen.
Amen. Verses 41. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and return to his own family.
Amen.
Amen. Hence, in the 50th year, no one was without a piece of land, and no one was in slavery. Everyone had his own possession and liberty.
Amen.
So go back and underline, we underline three losses. Now we'd like to underline three restorations. In E1, good land was returned to it. Hallelujah. Return to the good land, number one. Number two, in E2, regained his freedom. And number three, return to his family, also in point two. So there were three losses, but in the 50th year, in the year of Jubilee, there were three restorations.
Amen.
And this was across the board, everyone. You know, not one of us this weekend should be held back. I don't know what you've been held back with recently. There may be something in your being you've been held back. Well, not one of you should be held back. This weekend, we are blasting the trumpet. We are heralding the Jubilee. We are bringing the good news that each one of us can be fully released.
Amen.
Fully released from any bondage. Return to God as our possession. Released from all forms of slavery. And enjoy this Christ with the family.
Amen.
With our spiritual family here this weekend. Hallelujah. It's good to be here.
Amen.
Okay. F. The year of Jubilee was a Sabbath year signifying that God has done everything, completed everything, prepared everything, and that man must stop all his work. To keep the Sabbath is to stop our work, to take God and all that He has accomplished for us as our enjoyment, rest, and satisfaction. Amen. So, with the Jubilee being the 50th year, every seventh year was a year of Sabbath. Just like in creation, God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day He had completed His work, so it was the Sabbath day, a day of rest. Well, after 6 years, the seventh year was a year, was a Sabbath year. It was a year of rest. Well, after seven Sabbath years, the 49th year, there was another year of rest. There was another Sabbath year, and that was the Jubilee.
Amen.
So the Jubilee was also a Sabbath year.
Amen.
It was a time of rest. So there wasn't any work to be done. You just came and enjoyed, right? To experience this Jubilee, to be returned to God as your possession, to be released from slavery of sin, and to be restored to your family, don't think you have to do a lot of work. You just rest in the Lord. He's done everything.
Amen.
You just enjoy.
Amen.
You just come and rest in the Lord. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
Even right now, just pray inwardly to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord as your rest. Come out of everything else. Leave everything behind down the mountain and just come to the Lord as your rest.
Amen.
And be restored to your possession, to this wonderful Christ. Amen. Okay, so this is the Old Testament type. And now in the second half, we'd like to come to the reality in the New Testament. Praise the Lord for the reality. Roman numeral 2 says, the reality, how about if we read it all together? The reality
of the year of Jubilee is the New Testament age of grace, the age of Christ as grace and thanksgiving to us, our enjoyment, rest, and
satisfaction. Wow. Okay, the year of Jubilee is the New Testament age of grace. So today we're in the New Testament age of grace, enjoying the year of Jubilee. We're just in this year of Jubilee in the New Testament age of grace. And we talked about the type in Leviticus. In Isaiah, the type in Leviticus was about 1500 BC, about 800 years later, around 700 BC, there's Isaiah. And there's this word of prophecy in Isaiah 61 regarding a coming one. The Messiah is coming. And Isaiah 61, 1 through 2a, the Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me because Jehovah has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted.
Amen.
He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted,
Amen.
To proclaim liberty to the captives,
Amen.
And the opening of the eyes to those who are bound,
Amen.
To proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah.
Amen.
So they're expecting. The Jews are expecting for 700 years since this prophecy, they're waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for the one who will bind up the wounds of their broken hearts. To bring good news to the afflicted. Are any of you afflicted? Do any of you have a broken heart? Are any of you captive? Well, they were waiting. They were waiting for one to come proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the eyes to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah. So, the Jews are there waiting. They're waiting for the Messiah. And we know the Lord Jesus came. But He came in quite a quiet way. Just born in a manger. Right? He was raised in Nazareth in a despised region. He wasn't so comely to look upon. He was just a carpenter. Son there, and after 30 years, he began his ministry. And towards the beginning of his ministry, he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and he entered into the synagogue, prior where he had been growing up in that synagogue, and something historic, something of great magnitude, something monumental was about to happen. Little did they know, the townspeople there of Nazareth, as he came into that synagogue and as he unrolled the scroll, he read something. Right? Caleb, can I borrow you again?
Amen.
Amen. He read something.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Luke 4:16-22. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And according to his custom, he entered on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me,
Amen.
Because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive.
Amen.
And recovery of sight to the blind,
Amen.
To send away and release those who are oppressed,
Amen.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord,
Amen.
The year of Jubilee.
Amen.
And when he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
And all bore witness to him and marveled at the words of grace proceeding out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son?
Amen.
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 Well, this was quite an event. And they marveled at the words of grace proceeding out of his mouth. Here he said, what? He said, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Amen.
What had been typified in the Old Testament and the children of Israel had enjoyed for all those years in a physical way, that wonderful type, just humanly enjoying being restored, well, that was just in the physical realm. What had been prophesied by Isaiah, today, that day, the scripture was fulfilled in their hearing.
Amen.
This was a momentous occasion. There was a new era. There was a new age. This is the New Testament age of grace.
Amen.
Aren't you so happy that Christ has come?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're living in these days? We are in the New Testament age of grace. That means we are in the year of Jubilee. There's no reason for us to be bound. There's no reason for us to be enslaved. There's no reason why we shouldn't enjoy our rightful inheritance, because Christ has come. This scripture has been fulfilled in this person. A few more verses related to Christ setting us free. Okay, John 1:14. We know that the Word became flesh, tabernacled among us, full of grace and reality, full of grace and truth. So this one, the Lord Jesus came, He was incarnated as a man, but this one was full of grace and reality, full of grace and truth. In John 8:32, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Amen.
John 8:36, "If therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." So Christ is the reality of the Jubilee. He is the one that proclaims release to the captives.
Amen.
He is the one that proclaims freedom to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only that, He's not just a man who came and lived on the earth 2,000 years ago. But we can enjoy this person as a Jubilee today.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "And the Lord is the Spirit."
Amen.
The Lord here is Christ.
Amen.
Because a few verses later, it says, "We preach Christ Jesus as Lord."
Amen.
So here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
So today, there is not just a physical Jesus, but we have the pneumatic Christ. He has become the Spirit. So we can enjoy Him today. We can receive Him today. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit. We have a human spirit, and He is the Spirit, and He is the reality of the Jubilee.
Amen.
So we can enjoy Him anywhere, anytime, because He is the Spirit, and we have a spirit. We can be set free. This isn't just limited to our initial salvation when we're set free from sin. But as we feel ourselves losing God as our possession, or feel ourselves being pulled and enslaved in the world and to sin, well, He is the Spirit.
Amen.
He's even the Spirit in our spirit.
Yes.
So we can enjoy by just turning to Him, by touching Him, by calling His name, by praying to Him, by coming to Him. We can enjoy the present and now Christ.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the well acceptable time. Anytime, any day, we can enjoy this Jubilee. Why? Because we are in the age. We are in the era. We are in the year of Jubilee. We are in the New Testament age of grace.
Amen.
Isn't this good news?
Yes.
Shouldn't this be trumpeted?
Amen.
Shouldn't this be heralded? Shouldn't we shout this?
Yes.
Shouldn't we proclaim this?
Yes.
We have to hear it for ourselves, and we also have to proclaim this to others.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Point C. In the New Testament age of grace, the God-redeemed believers are brought back to God to jubilantly enjoy the blessings of God's New Testament salvation.
Amen.
What is your experience of enjoying God's New Testament salvation? Well, we've all had experience. We've all had enjoyment. I believe most of us in this room know the Lord and have been saved. We've all had this experience of the salvation. Well, here it talks about jubilantly enjoying. We need to enter into another level to jubilantly enjoy.
Amen.
We can jubilantly enjoy. Don't you think those that were in slavery, you know, whether you sold your land at the first year or at the 49th year, or whether you sold yourself into slavery in the 5th year or the 45th year, by the time the 50th year came, I believe everyone was jubilantly enjoying, jubilantly enjoying that release. Well, our experience of salvation in the New Testament, we can jubilantly enjoy.
Amen.
And when we see and experience and we realize what we've been released from and what we can be released from as we enter in, we will be the jubilant enjoyers.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, since we're in Roman numeral 2 in the fulfillment, we're considering all mankind, not just Israel. Hallelujah. This is for all mankind,
Amen.
Not just the children of Israel.
Amen.
Aren't you so happy that salvation has come to the Gentiles?
Amen.
It's come to all the nations.
Right.
It's come to all of us. Amen. So even in God's creation, C1, we see God's intention, and His intention was to give Himself in Christ to man as His possession and inheritance. How do we know this? Well, when God created man, what did He do in chapter 2? Where did He place him? He placed him in front of the tree of life. The tree of life, good for food.
Amen.
And in the New Testament, we see this tree of life is just Christ. It is just God Himself. So, God created man as a vessel to contain him, and then He placed him right in front of the tree of life and said, I would like to be your possession. I would like you to take me in. I am your inheritance. This is God's intention as seen even from creation. He has allotted Himself as our possession even in creation. Amen. Psalm 16:5. Jehovah is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. In Psalm 91, O Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. So God is our inheritance. God is to be our possession. Okay. However, there was a fall. Man became fallen and partook of the sinful nature. So there was a loss. Just like in the Old Testament, there was a loss of the possession. There was an enslaving, and there was a removal from the family. In the New Testament, through the fall, man lost God. Man lost God. Genesis 33:24. So He drove the man out. At the east of the Garden of Eden, He placed the cherubim and a flaming sword which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So God's intention that man would take in the tree of life, now man has lost God. In Genesis 4:16, Cain went forth from the presence of Jehovah. So lost even the presence of God. Right? So this is man's situation. So we mentioned before these two matters, possession and person. So man lost God as his possession. But intrinsically, man's person was changed. Man's person became the flesh of sin. Man sold himself into slavery under sin, Satan, and the world. So here's man, according to Ephesians chapter 2, apart from Christ, no hope, without God. According to John 8:34, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Romans 7:14, but I am fleshy, sold under sin. In 1 John 5:19b, the whole world lies in the evil one. So here's man, even just lying there, like a patient on an operating table, just under the control of Satan, a slave of sin. So this is man's situation in the fall. But there's the Jubilee coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the Jubilee.
Amen.
You know, we need our eyes open. May the Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
To see what the real freedom is. and what the false freedom is, which is actually to be under slavery to sin, Satan, and the world. You know, the whole world is there. The whole world lies in the evil one and is laying there. But seemingly, everyone, and especially in this country, we trumpet freedom, right? The land of the free, right? Well, what kind of freedom are most of this people in this country under? Seemingly free to do whatever they want, but actually just under the manipulation and enslaved to sin. You know, just a little bit of my testimony of seeking freedom, particularly in my college years. Well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew the Lord in elementary school and had a little experience of the Lord and enjoyed a little portion of the good land, got to know the Lord. I was among the spiritual family in the church life with the brothers and sisters, and it was so good. There was a taste there of the true freedom. But somehow our eyes are veiled, and there was a desire to taste and go and seek other freedom, other, quote, freedom. And the world became attractive. And in high school, just a little bit of dabbling here, a little bit of dabbling there, a little bit losing God as my possession, and a little bit being pulled and enslaved to Satan, but just going along, right? then eventually, as I went off to school for college, I realized now is the real freedom, right? Now is the real freedom. I was 500 miles away from home, and I remember I took a train ride from Washington, D.C. to Boston. I was with one other student. We went to the same high school. We were going to school together. He wasn't a Christian, and we were just going to experience freedom, right? I still had the Lord in me, but I was seeking freedom, right? And as I got to school, seemingly enjoying freedom, enjoying social life, pursuing academics, enjoying athletics, just filling myself with all these things, making my own choices because I was free to choose what I want to choose. But gradually realizing, actually, it wasn't me choosing, but I was just manipulated by Satan, right? And I was a slave to sin. And there was some temporary enjoyment, but then it was empty. I remember one day walking across the bridge to school, and just the Lord came in like a beam of light. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? And I just realized, I actually want the Lord. That is the true freedom I desire.
Amen.
But I had a sense of being enslaved. It wasn't so easy to extract myself from that environment. So I had a desire. I said, you know, I'm going to go to some meetings now. And I'm going to get into the Word a little more. And I'm going to, my senior year will be different. But, you know, there was a little bit more growth that year. But mainly, I felt even more the vivid realization that I'm shackled. I'm enslaved to sin. I wanted the real freedom, but being in that environment, being in the same with the same friends, etc., feeling shackled. So by the time I graduated, I was longing for freedom. Not for the, quote, false freedom, but longing for the real freedom. To be restored to my possession.
Amen.
To be released from the slavery of sin and the world and Satan. And to enjoy being with the divine family.
Amen.
So the Lord was merciful as I went back home to have a fresh start.
Wow.
The ram's horn sounded.
Amen.
The trumpeting was there.
Amen.
And I had a fresh start.
Amen.
To be back in my hometown. And I began to just be in the church life in a simple way, not trying to make this big leap to, I don't know, full freedom or whatever, but just to be with the brothers and sisters and to take in a little bit of the Word. And gradually, there was an inward freeing going on. By the end of a year there and working there, I realized I want to experience more of the good land. I said, I'm going to go to Anaheim, California and join this Bible school called the Full-Time Training so I can walk in the good land full-time.
Amen.
And explore the riches full-time. So the Lord is merciful, I could do that. So all mankind is longing for freedom. But what we think is freedom and what we seek after eventually can just be an enslaving. Everyone needs Jubilee. You know, we get to college and we want a certain freedom. But then in college, we're looking to what's next. When I get a job and I have a solid paycheck, then I'm going to be free from all this debt, free from all this limitation. That will be the true freedom. Wow, everything will be taken care of. I'll have money and I'll just live, right? But then you're enslaved to your job. You find, wow, you're in slavery again. You say, oh, but maybe when I get married, then, and have a family, then I'll have freedom. I won't have to be by myself, right? But, you know, hopefully, if your spouse is in the church life, you'll just enjoy the Jubilee together.
Amen.
And you won't be in bondage. But, amen. And then when you're working, most people working are just longing to retire, to have the real freedom. But then you reach retirement, and there's your whole life. We don't want our life to be a waste. We want our life to have meaning. We want to enter into the Jubilee.
Amen.
So that our entire life can be in the Jubilee.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Some sub-points here. Point three. In God's New Testament salvation, which is accomplished by God's grace based on His redemption in Christ, fallen man is. Praise the Lord for salvation. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24. Romans 5:2. Through whom also we have obtained access by faith into this grace. This is obtaining access into the good land. Into this grace in which we stand and boast because of the hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the New Testament salvation.
Amen.
Okay. Fallen man, again, restored in three ways. A, brought back to God.
Amen.
As His divine possession.
Amen.
Brought back to God.
Amen.
As His divine possession.
Hallelujah.
We were created to possess this God. Well, in salvation, we're brought back to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have access to enjoy God.
Amen.
As our divine possession. We can obtain Him. We can gain Him. We can enjoy Him.
Amen.
We can explore the land.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the divine possession.
Amen.
B, released from slavery under sin, Satan, and the world. Okay, just some things that we're released from. A list here. Hallelujah, released from slavery. We're released, we're liberated from sin. 1 Peter 2:24, who Himself bore up our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness.
Amen.
Number two, the power of sin. Romans 6:6, our old man has been crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be annulled, that we should no longer serve sin as slaves.
Amen.
In the Jubilee, we're released.
Amen.
We don't have to serve sin as slaves. We've been released, number three, from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed out of the curse of the law. D, the bondage of the law. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Amen.
We've been liberated, number five, from the flesh. Romans 8:6, The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace.
Amen.
Number 7, we've been liberated from the old man. Romans 6:6, our old man has been crucified with him. Number 7, 8, we've been released from Satan's oppression.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Acts 26:18. We've been turned from the authority of Satan to God.
Amen.
Number 9. We've been released. We've been liberated from our vain manner of life.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:18. We've been released from our vain manner of life.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't have to live a life of vanity. As we look forward on our life can be a life full of meaning, full of reality, full of enjoyment, full of being one with God's purpose.
Amen.
We've been redeemed from our vain manner of life.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's number 2, restoration. A, B, and C. Number 3. Let's read this together. Restore. Isn't it good? We've been restored to the divine family.
Amen.
We love our human family, our human family, but we have not only a human family, but we have a divine family.
Amen.
The household of God.
Wow.
The household of God. Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Amen.
Aren't you so happy? You've been born of God. You're a member of the household of God.
Amen.
You have a lot of brothers and sisters. You have a great family. It's good to have this family vacation this weekend.
Amen.
To be brought away with the family. To enjoy the Lord with our divine family.
Amen.
That He may enjoy fellowship in God's grace. We can enjoy fellowship. Our God has called us into a fellowship. This fellowship is a joint participation. It's a joint enjoyment. It's a flow of the divine life. You have the divine life. I have the divine life. We've been called into this fellowship, and this life is flowing among us.
Amen.
Isn't it good? We're in the flowing of the divine life.
Amen.
In the joint participation, in the joint enjoyment, enjoying together this weekend this wonderful fellowship.
Amen.
Okay, point D. Let's read this all together. Amen. Receive the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
If you're not already saved, receive the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You'll experience the real jubilee.
Amen.
If you are already saved, we can freshly receive the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And freshly experience the real jubilee.
Right.
Praise the Lord. This weekend is a celebratory time.
Yes.
We're trumpeting. It's a time of shouting.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now is the acceptable time,
hallelujah.
The acceptable year of the Lord.
Right.
Let's spend this weekend in the Jubilee,
yeah.
Enjoying God as our possession, being released from anything that's holding us.
Amen.
Even maybe in your personal prayer tonight, just open to the Lord to be released, to be healed, to let everything go, and to give your entire being to the Lord. And to be restored to the divine family.
Amen.
We could be here this weekend in the fellowship, in the joint participation, the joint enjoyment of this good land. Hallelujah for the Jubilee.
Amen.
Okay, and then lastly, let's read the focus together.
The New Testament age of grace
is the age of the Jubilee in which the God redeemed believers.
Christ has grace, and are released from all forms of bondage and slavery, and are restored to the church
Okay, how about if we have some prayer with our seatmates? Amen.